girl has to call each one on the telephone to tell them the big news about the double wedding. So it's like, bring, bring, hello. Oh, it's Greg, and he's a doctor. Bring, bring, hello. It's Peter, and he's in the Air Force. Bring, bring. Oh, Bobby is playing college baseball. Bring, bring. Cindy is in college. It's so funny.
What about Cousin Oliver?
Hello, world. It's a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy.
Welcome to the Pop Culture Preservation Society, the podcast for people born in the big wheel generation that memorized phone numbers for fun and now can't remember a password without resetting it three times.
We believe our Gen X childhoods gave us unforgettable songs, stories, characters, and images. And if we don't talk about them, they'll disappear like Marshall, Will, and Holly on a routine expedition.
And today, we'll be saving the love, drama, and happily ever afters that shaped us. The must-see TV weddings where saying I do required a full week of buildup, three love triangles, and a Nielsen ratings record. I'm Carolyn.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Michelle. And we are your pop culture preservationists.
Okay, everybody, grab your rice, your Jordan almonds, and maybe even a few tissues, because today at the Pop Culture Preservation Society, we are dusting off the chiffon, queuing up the organ music, and throwing the bouquet to all the iconic small screen weddings that captured our Gen X hearts. Today's episode was actually inspired by one of the most watched TV moments of our Gen X childhood, the wedding of Rhoda Morgenstern. Over 50 million people tuned in to watch our girl finally say I do, proving that sometimes television weddings can be just as thrilling and heartbreaking as the ones in real life. And when we shared an image of that iconic TV wedding in a recent post, oh my gosh, many of you had some feelings to share. We actually shared that post as a way to crowdsource for today's episode, but so many of you wanted to share moments and memories you had from that episode, and I wanted
just
to...
Rhoda.
Yes, just from that Rhoda one. Yeah. And I just wanted to share a couple with you that stood out for me. So our listener, Miss Chipnix, wrote this. She said, in the 70s, I lived in Panama. My dad was an engineer on a hydroelectric dam being built on the Bayano River. I don't know if that's how I pronounce it or not.
The Bionic River.
Yeah, that sounds good. We were living at the dam site pretty close to the jungle, okay? And she said it was so deathly boring for a teenager. But we were able to get the U.S. Forces TV channel, and she and her mom were big fans of Rhoda. While they didn't get to see the episode until 1975, when it did air, she said, Mom and I got dressed up like wedding guests and had tea and fancy sandwiches. And she said, my dad just shook his head.
Yes, we were so happy for Rhoda.
Yes.
We were so happy.
One of us shared that in, I think it was our Mary Tyler Moore episode, maybe, or our Rhoda. Who knows? We've talked about Rhoda and Mary a lot. They're our little soul sisters. But that people bought wedding gifts.
And sent them.
Sent them to CBS Studios. Yes. And you can kind of see how,
that's next
how much it affected people. I just love
that. And how
that.
Much of that, I wonder, is because Rhoda was getting married before Mary. It was so unexpected. And you just thought, well, certainly Mary's going to get married. I mean, look at her. And she's just the apple of everyone's eye. But poor Rhoda's always second banana. And here she was getting married. And everyone was just so happy for her.
Yes, a couple people even commented they had a crush on Joe. So, and she's marrying. So she's marrying, you know, somebody that's kind of a little eye candy for some of us. So
that's right.
That was really special for her. I loved this comment. So Elaine P5974. This was on Threads, and she commented, "I was visiting LA and went to CBS Studios and was in the audience and watched the filming. I sat next to Marsha Wallace."
I can't even. Can you imagine?
Oh my gosh.
Like, how on earth can that be even a thing? Like, your head would be spinning.
How can that be?
You guys, if I was her, that would be more special and memorable than my own wedding.
Yes.
I got to do that.
100%.
People would be like, what was the best moment of your life? And I'd be like, watching Rhoda get married in real life.
It was with Marsha Wallace.
Right.
With Marsha Wallace. That too, right?
Yeah.
And when you said that, Carolyn, I stopped for a minute because I was like, wait, she said she was in L.A., but Rhoda got married in New York. No, Kristen, that's pretend. That's just...
Like Kristen, where did you send the wedding gifts in the 70s?
Oh,
because
no.
I hope you got the right address.
I sent them to Ida Morgenstern in Brooklyn.
You figure there had to be some on-site locations for that episode because she is running through the streets of New York epic beginning to, you know, catch
Coming
the train
out of the
because
subway tunnel
Phyllis
in her
forgot
wedding
to get her.
Yeah.
Bottom of her dress must have been so dirty.
Yes.
Okay, and I love this comment that Go Suze left on our post. She said she remembers when Rhoda realized she's going to have to hoof it to her wedding, and she kind of wants to hide her dress, so she puts on a white cardigan.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so Rhoda.
Rhoda's wedding was actually just one of the many ceremonies that we still fondly recall today. From soap opera extravaganzas with motorcycles, Elizabeth Taylor, and eye patches, to sitcom nuptials that felt like family reunions, TV weddings of the 70s and 80s weren't just episodes. They were events, right? Uh-huh. They were the kind of moments that glued us to the couch, kept us whispering about plot twists on the playground, and even made our parents peek around the corner to see what all the fuss was about.
Okay, what was the eye patch? Remind me of the eye patch.
Oh, sorry. Okay, that's a soap wedding, and that would be when Patch and Kayla got married.
I mean, and it's right there in the word.
I was picturing Elizabeth Taylor with a patch, and I convinced myself that was a thing. I was like, oh, yeah, I think I kind of remember that.
No,
that was just a bad, a dream after one of those college parties in the 80s.
Right. I should have read it more like, from soap opera extravaganzas with motorcycles, Elizabeth Taylor, and eye patches. Yeah, because Patch has this like one tear that kind of comes down from
under
like,
the patch.
Yeah. When you marry Kayla.
You guys, love a wedding episode. Mm-hmm. Love a wedding episode. However, having said that, it very much depended on the show because like if it was a soap opera or a drama, I was also, and this is just in my character, I was very uneasy that something bad or uncomfortably cringy was going to happen. Like the old boyfriend would walk in right when the priest says, if anyone knows why this couple shouldn't be married, speak now. And you're like,
who is it going to be?
So even though I say, I love a wedding episode, also it seemed like wedding episodes were the most like anxiety ridden for me sometimes.
It's like, will they or won't they?
That's true. You've pointed out a big difference between soap opera weddings and sitcom weddings, because I think the soap opera weddings were a plot twist and a cliffhanger, and the sitcom weddings were a time for all of us to get together and love our characters.
Exactly. Right. And I think coming up for the rest of this episode, we're going to basically prove that point to be true. And and we can all say that little Michelle, that feeling of anxiety wasn't unfounded because of history of the shows I watched and the weddings I witnessed, right?
So for this episode, we crowdsourced and we asked you guys, what are the memorable TV weddings that stick in your mind? And even though we were going for primetime TV sitcom-y kind of weddings, a lot of you shared those soap opera weddings. And I want you to know that we see you and we hear you. We talked about a lot of these in our previous soap opera episode and our super couple soap couple episode. But just to get it out of the way and let you know that we are covering our bases, I just wrote a little piece of poetry to the most mentioned soap operas, give them a little love, okay, and get them out.
Okay, this is going to be
good. So here we go, you guys. This is my soap opera wedding poem, kind of like a little countdown. It's nothing fancy. So Gen X's top soap opera weddings. Steve and Betsy as the world turns, sweet young love, oh, how it burns. Vicky and Landview, veils so wide, one life to live gave us bride after bride. Jenny and Greg, Pine Valley's sweet song, their vows felt perfect, though fate did them wrong. Tara and Phil, the first AMC flame, in wedding day whispers they carved out their name. Marlena and Roman in Salem's glow, romance and danger, soap's best combo. Erica Kane, oh, the queen of the aisle. Her weddings were endless, each one in style. Victor and Nikki in Genoa's glare, diamonds, deception, and fabulous hair. Beau and Hope, a royal wedding they had, the kind of wedding that made Gen X so glad. Luke and Laura, the daytime crown jewel, 20 million tuned in. Now that's pretty cool. The soaps made weddings big, bold, and true, with lace, tears, and drama, just made for you.
Aww.
Round of applause.
Heart hands.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to share the most mentioned episodes with you today. And I'll start by saying that you can only imagine how elated I was to see this wedding mentioned over and over in our comments. And you know what gets my vote as the best TV wedding ever? But also, I hated it a little bit because it was not me marrying Chachi. It was stupid Joni. I think a lot of you longtime listeners, you know that we have a Bayo disclaimer. We stand in our truth in our love for Chachi and maybe even the Scott Bayo of the late 70s. But we don't like him now. Okay. For real though, you guys, when I watched this wedding yesterday on YouTube and I saw Chachi standing at the front for the very first time in my whole life, my heart didn't catch. My disgust with Scott Bayo has finally caught up to my love of Chachi. Isn't that sad?
Okay, that's a little sad. It is sad. I'm sorry.
I was kind of like, ooh. Yeah. And I was like, that made me really sad. Anyway, let's not dwell on that. That's for a different conversation.
You're growing and changing. Our little Michelle is growing up.
Joni and Chachi's wedding was the final episode of Happy Days. And really marked the end of an era. I mean, Richie and Lori Beth even came home for that wedding. And I mean, it was a long time coming because Joni and Chachi had been a TV it couple, even though they were on again, off again, for like 6 years. If you remember, Chachi first appears in season 5 in 1977 and instantly makes Joni his romantic, like, mark, even though she is repulsed by him. And then he finally wears her down in, you know, season 7. So
and she's
really
a lot taller than him at that time, too.
Yeah. Calls her cupcake. It was really memorable and meaningful to have them get married then on the series finale. Because what better occasion to bring everyone together than a wedding? And it really felt like a perfect ending, I think, for everyone. And we can't forget the way that episode ended to Mr. Cunningham's toast, where he breaks the fourth wall for just a hot second and looks right at the camera and says,
thank you all for being part of our family. To Happy Days.
It was the perfect way to bring the series to an end because everybody's gathered at this really, you know, meaningful ceremony and everybody's there again. Oh my God, even Jenny Piccolo's the bridesmaid with a big old purple satin bow at the back of her head.
I had forgotten it was the last episode. Yes. I was associating Joni and Chachi getting married with the show Joni and Chachi, and that is not true. It is the finale of the show.
And I think I've shared this before with you guys when we've talked about this particular episode, but for me, it marked the end of my childhood, right? Do you remember me saying, I just sobbed like uncontrollably. I was a freshman in college. It was finals time. I was studying for some algebra final or something, and emotions were running high. And it just hit me that, like, this is it. That's bye-bye childhood. This is the real world now. So that episode always hits me a little bit harder than just, oh, this show I loved for this long is now going away. It was a lot.
It was bittersweet, though, to the episode, because throughout the whole ceremony, which, you know, is only about 6 minutes, Marion keeps looking at Mr. C and she's crying, but she'll look right at him and she'll dab her eyes. I mean, she's fully crying, and you know it was because of, you know, the character is supposed to be, you know, she's very emotional that her daughter's getting married. But also, I think it's really hitting her as Marion Ross when Howard Cunningham, when he gives the toast at the end, also he chokes up And right when he says that, thank you all for being a part of our family and stuff, he chokes up like he can barely speak. And you know, that's probably really Tom Bosley who's feeling that emotion. And so it's a very sweet episode to rewatch.
I just got like really choked up. It's just so, I've not gotten choked up when we've talked about it before, but to not only end the episode surrounded by all of your people, but to do it with a wedding, which is an emotional thing anyway. And to them, it might've been like a symbolic wedding, like a symbol of the kids on the show growing up and Carolyn, you're growing up, and then we're bringing it all to an end. And I think it's sort of like, sometimes we've talked about this before, like the day after the wedding, anybody's wedding, whether you're in it or going to it, can be a real downer. Like, that part of my life is over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and actually the first part of his toast is exactly that, Kristen. He's talking about, we've raised these kids and now they're adults and now we get to see them with people they love and they're going to then, you know, share these memories with their children. And so there's a lot of kind of double meaning in his entire toast, really, to be honest.
We're getting super serious about Joni and Chachi.
I know. Well, Also, let me just say that back then, and again, like yesterday when I watched it, I did not like Joni's dress or her veil, but that's being catty. Mm-hmm. I think at the time I didn't like it because I was like, I don't like anything about you because you're not me and you know, or I'm not you, whatever. And then when I watched it again, I was like, nope, I still have that same opinion. Don't well, like another it. Happy Days wedding that was mentioned was the one that took place on May 5th, 1981. That would have been season 8, episode 19. As you know, Ron Howard had left Happy Days in 1980 to pursue directing. So they had Richie go to the Army. So when Richie and Lori Beth finally get married, the story is that Lori Beth isn't allowed on the Army base in Greenland unless she's like married or something, unless she's, you know, like married to one of the soldiers.
Yeah, she's not a wife yet.
Yeah, it's something like that. Yeah. I'm not entirely sure, but that was in my memory. So they decide to get married over the telephone with Fonzie standing in as proxy for Richie. And I remember it's super cute. And I thought that was really sweet. But in my memory, they're in the Cunninghams' house, right?
Yeah,
and
I think
like he's using room, like the phone on the wall.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a wall phone.
It was really cute that they wrote it that way.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Wow. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Wow. Thursday, Friday, happy days. Weekend comes, cycle hums, ready to race to you.
So many of you shared how much you love the weddings on this. I don't know why this surprised me, but it did. When you say TV wedding, this is not the first show that comes to my mind. But so many of you piped in with memories of Little House on the Prairie. I just think this is so funny. But it gets even better because the shocking thing to me is that the wedding people mentioned the most in our comments, Nellie and Percival.
Maybe because we were so shocked that Nellie found someone.
Oh, Nellie Olson. Take Percival here for your wedded husband. To love, to honor, and obey. Till death do you part.
I do.
I now pronounce you man and wife. Kiss your bride, Percival.
There's so much to that because the obvious pick is Laura and Almanzo, however you choose to say it. I refuse to say Almanzo, even if that's proper. Laura and Almanzo got married in season 7, but if you guys were like me, this was a very uncomfortable day for you because I was not ready for Laura to get married, maybe because she was marrying a full-grown man. So I think I was in denial about what was happening and just kind of looked away. So maybe that's why it wasn't Laura and Almanzo that popped up in people's comments. There's also the wedding of Mary and Adam, which also made me uncomfortable. I think because I knew they weren't really blind. And the melodrama is just off the charts. It's too much. I could not deal. Because if you recall, Mary gets cold feet because she's afraid that they won't be able to raise children safely. But then she overcomes her anxiety and love wins. But then, you guys, one Reddit commenter was like, well, you did leave your baby in a burning building, so maybe that's kind of true.
A little foreshadowing.
Maybe, yeah.
Then there's the vow renewal that Pa throws to cheer up Ma when she thinks she's pregnant, but it's really just menopause.
That's right.
Which is a super loaded, it's a very loaded episode because all of a sudden – Ma's like a broken person because she can't give life anymore. And she's all worried about Pa because he won't have any more. He won't be able to sire anything anymore. And so she's worried about disappointing him, and she's not really a woman anymore. And he thinks that she is feeling less womanly. So I'm going to prove to her how womanly she is, and let's get married. And it was dumb. And when we talked to Karen Grassley, when we interviewed Karen Grassley, she was like, yeah, that was dumb.
Yeah.
She agreed. She was like, because we thought, oh, this is great. They're talking about menopause on Little House on the Prairie. She's like, yeah, through the eyes of men.
Like, exactly.
It turned
she
out
did.
That
that's right.
Some one of the writers was currently going through this issue with his wife, and so they wrote it into the script. And she's like, that was his view. He thought that she felt like she wasn't a woman anymore. And the whole siring thing is just so weird.
That word.
I must propagate the earth, right?
Right.
So vow renewal, blah, blah, blah. We didn't like it. But Nellie and Percival, now this made sense. Because this was an opposites attract scenario that really worked, because Percival allowed Nellie to really be who she was without just removing the dick part. Like, she wasn't a dick all the time. He took away the bite, but he didn't water her down, really.
Right.
So if you recall, Percival was shorter than Nellie, which kind of made it a little comedic. Again, we have opposites attract. And one of the things that Nellie does to win him over is she kind of walks with her knees bent a little bit so she would appear shorter. Like, this is L-hop comedy at its best. And also, remember, Percival was Jewish. Again, opposites attract. Mm-hmm. But the prairie is all about church and bringing in the sheaves and Reverend Alden.
Big red nose.
Reverend Alden of the Big Red Nose. But also, Michael Landon was Jewish. So maybe this is how Michael Landon was married to Little House on the Prairie. See, this is like book club. So Nellie and Percival were married outside on the prairie by Doc Baker. And I was like, where's Reverend Alden? I don't understand. And you can hear throughout the whole ceremony, you can hear Mrs. Olson sobbing in the background.
Yep.
Just like, whoa, like wailing. But Nellie and Percival are so jacked that they don't even notice. She is so excited. They're so excited to be getting married. And Nellie is wearing the biggest bow that has ever been worn on a human head ever in the history of television. And all of the other weddings outside of this one, they were so melodramatic. Mary's, of course, is the worst. They're like pretending to stare at a spot that's just off center. And then they choke out like, I love you. And it's too much. But Nellie and Percival's wedding, fun. They actually seem like they might run into the house and have sex quickly before the party. And you're like, silly kids. Like, good for you. And with the others, I could never have thought about that. I did not want to think about Laura and Braids going in the house to have sex with a grown man.
Oh.
No. Oh, it was so gross. Well, no, remember by then in that one episode where she meets him, she goes from braids to like a swirly updo.
In one
like
episode.
One episode.
Yeah. So she's actually in braids when she meets Almanzo.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and yeah. She's little Laura in braids and her little plaid dress, her little calico dress.
Yeah.
And by the end, she's in the long skirts with it because she says it's because she's wants, you know, she needs to look more like a school teacher.
That's right.
But it's all the swoopy. And I don't care. You can't. You know, you can't put lipstick on a pig. Not to say that we love Laura. And also, can we all just remember that Melissa Gilbert was also a little creeped out by that whole episode?
Yeah. Because she was a child. Yeah. And we were not ready. Let's just say it, we weren't ready. And it's not because we were attached to Laura in that way. It's because Laura was 15 years old.
Right. It just
and
wasn't
Almanzo
believable.
Was 82. Yeah.
It
wasn't believable.
She writes about this in depth in her first book, Melissa Gilbert's first book. And one of the things that sticks out, I haven't read that book in probably 4 years. And I just remember when she's talking about the first time they told her she was going to have a love interest, Laura Ingalls, and she was like, you know, it's going to be Almanzo Wilder. And she's like, okay. And when she saw him, when she saw Dean Butler walk in, she was like, wait, what? What? Like, he's a man. And I remember the way she described it. One of the ways is she said, here I was, this little girl, I hadn't even shaved my legs yet. And I was supposed to be realistically like with this man.
Mm-mm. So we were, it's not us. It's not us. It's the situation. The other thing that I did not want to see on the prairie was pregnancy. Do you remember when Nellie was pregnant and she wore like a big prairie style tent dress? Like, what do we actually know about maternity fashions in the pioneer days? I don't know. I just think that goes hand in hand with the wedding. And as I was going through, as I was researching for this, there are all these pictures of Nellie pregnant. I'm like, I'm really happy you and Percival found each other, but I'm not ready to see pioneer pregnancy.
Yeah, that was a far leap for our little brains too. It was like Nellie having a baby and Mrs. Olson being a grandmother and all the things. You know what? There were some other weddings that I don't remember like the exact details, but when Mr. Edwards gets married, I mean, I was so happy for him.
That was a lovely wedding.
Yes, it was. I loved that wedding.
That's almost in the same category as Nellie and Percival, where they weren't people you expected to find love.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they did.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I loved that one.
And it wasn't sexy. It wasn't sexy. You don't need it to be sexy.
No.
Well, this next wedding is going to take some tact and tenderness to talk about, unfortunately, because it currently hits so close to home and doesn't seem as soap opera-y as it once did. And this would be Dynasty's season 5 finale cliffhanger known as the Moldavian Massacre, which aired on May 18th, 1985. And terrorists storm the wedding of Amanda Carrington. That's Blake and Alexis's long-lost daughter. She was played by Catherine Oxenberg. I loved her. God, I thought she was beautiful.
That swoopy hair was really great.
God, I thought she was beautiful. Mm-hmm. I feel like in real life she was like a real princess of some sort, too.
Anyway. Yes, I think she was married to a prince.
You're right. I think she has some royal blood in her. Mm-hmm.
And Prince Michael, who is the prince of the fictional country Moldavia, and the terrorists storm their wedding and they open fire at the end of the ceremony for what felt like 10 solid minutes. I just rewatched it. Mm-hmm. It's only like 2. I was so uneasy watching this. And then the season ends with pretty much every main character on Dynasty lying bloodied and motionless on the church floor. And what I remember when I watched this in 1985 and then when I just watched the clip, and we'll put a clip of this in the Weekly Reader this week. This was a really smart choice by the, you know, I don't know if it was the showrunners, the director, whoever, but after all the gunshots go away, it's silent. And the camera is just panning around all of those main characters and you're seeing them lying, eyes closed, motionless, and then it just fades to black.
And they literally stop on each character. Like you're going, this face, this face, this face. It was jarring. It's quite jarring. Not to mention just the, like you said, it felt like it went on for 10 minutes. This was not bang, bang. This was a massacre that went on for minutes and minutes and minutes and minutes. It was,
I mean, you do have a little bit of the, you know, the Hollywood aspect to it. Cause you have like, you know, the guys, they're like swinging in on ropes, like, you know, Robin Hood style, like through the giant church or the giant windows of the castle. So they're like coming through the plate glass windows, you know, shooting as they go. And you've even got like the palace guards that are wearing like those gladiator style, like gold
from Moldavia
helmets with the plume. And one of them even has an eye patch, you know, so it's almost like comical. But then anyway, it was very traumatic. And I will say it's hard to watch right now because of the state we find ourselves in this country and in this world. And so I'm quite certain when I watched it in 1985, I wasn't thinking, oh, that I feel like that could happen.
It was not scary. No, it was not scary. Right. It was dramatic, but it was
far-fetched.
Not
scary. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a soap opera type event.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But just wildly memorable because when you see, you know, you see Alexis and you see, you know, Crystal and Blake, you see all of them laying there motionless and you think, who could possibly survive this?
Yeah.
Well, just about everybody, let me tell you, because in September, the 6th season premiere revealed that the only fatalities were Steve Carrington's boyfriend, played by Billy Campbell, and Jeff Colby's girlfriend, Ally McGraw. Yeah, none of the apparently dead main cast actually bit the bullet because they all popped up. They were all fine.
Just the people whose contracts had expired, probably.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think they did it for a cliffhanger and for, you know, ratings, and it worked because mm-hmm. Dynasty never again attained the ratings it did during that finale.
Wow.
The show did go on for four more seasons before it concluded in 1989, but that was the ratings juggernaut. And they worked it, man. They milked that end mm-hmm. and it did work. But then as is all good soap operas, we're alive.
They all jump up in Hooray! The first episode. I'm okay. I'm okay.
It was a flesh wound.
Yes, that's right. I just grazed my elbow or something.
Yeah, so anyway, lots of comments about that Moldavian wedding.
As the designated tally counter person of this crowdsourcing that we did, I would say that this wedding, the Dynasty one, was the most mentioned of all of them. So, yes, people had feelings.
Let's just say the, you know, however many minutes leading up to that awful terrorist attack, mm-hmm. it is the quintessential fairy tale princess wedding. I mean, mm-hmm. first of all, she couldn't have a swoopier like bun thing. You know, like we always talk about the swoopy somewhere in time type bun, the Jane Seymour mm-hmm. bun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It couldn't be bigger and poofier. And if you've ever thought of the biggest, most elaborate fairy tale princess wedding gown you could ever think of, and veils and tulle, multiply it times 50, and that's what Amanda Carrington is wearing. And he's super handsome. He's got the 1985 mullet, you know, like picture like the John Stamos like mullet. And it was played by Michael Paré, I believe. Super handsome. And so, yes, it's in a castle. And so that makes it memorable as well, because it was the most mm-hmm. over the top, outrageous Carrington Dynasty fairy tale wedding with the most beautiful bride and groom you could ever imagine.
That made me think of one that didn't make your poem, Carolyn, was Nina and Cliff getting married in the castle. That was a
yes,
big one. Castles
that
are
was big. A
big
one.
If you get married in a castle, that's going to be really memorable.
Okay, friends, listen up. I have got a public service announcement for you. If you are planning to holiday shop like it's 1987, aka wandering the mall, getting lost in the food court, and then panic buying a sweater at the Limited, it's time to evolve and check out a wonderful alternative, Uncommon Goods. Uncommon Goods is where I, along with Kristen and Michelle, go when we want to give a gift that says, I am thoughtful and I'm creative and charming, possibly a genius. They find the coolest items from artists and small independent businesses, stuff that you would never find in big box stores. I'm in love with a hostess gift I recently purchased, a bread warming set which included a personalized warming stone and woven basket. It was the perfect way to say thank you for some warm hospitality. And shopping at Uncommon Goods actually makes my heart grow 3 sizes. Because with every purchase, Uncommon Goods gives back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. So your holiday shopping spree also spreads a little good in the world. So don't wait. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/PCPS. That's uncommongoods.com/PCPS for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
But when Michelle sent us this clip, she's like, you better watch this before we talk about it. It was a really good history lesson for me, because it made it so much easier to draw a line between then and now. You could put that on TV then, because like you said, it was far-fetched and that couldn't happen. And it couldn't happen because those kinds of weapons couldn't be purchased by somebody who wasn't in the military. Only military personnel or terrorist groups have those kinds of weapons. So that was never going to happen at a wedding. Right. Well, fast forward to today. Just regular people on the street do have those weapons. They can have those weapons, and they use those weapons to do those things now wherever mm-hmm. they want. And so to watch it today, it was such a wake-up call to me. Like, oh, it is different now. It is really, if they could put this on TV back then, that tells you that we didn't have things like this happen back then.
Right, right.
And how
right.
close it is. I'm not articulating myself very well, but the fear that we have right now is for a reason. And nobody's going to put that on TV today. Nobody would ever put that on TV today.
Well, let's get back to the weddings part.
Yeah, please. Oh my God. Uh-huh. But thank you for the history lesson, Michelle, is my point. Thank you for the history lesson. Sure. It just blew everything up in my mind. Excuse me.
Happy to have provided it.
So it would be an absolute travesty to talk about TV weddings without talking about the Brady Brides.
Oh, my God.
It's a new night for two girls named Brady who have left a bunch to make it on their own. Jan fell in love with a man named Philip, the nicest guy she knows. In the meantime, along came Wally. He's different than Philip every way. Soon the girls are headed for a double wedding. A very special day.
I got so Husker Dude researching the Brady Brides, but also I got very confused. And I want to see if you guys are confused too. So I thought the Brady Brides was a made-for-TV movie. So but then it turns out, no, it was actually a series. And it wasn't called The Brady Brides. No, it was called The Brady Girls Get Married. But wait, it turns out that the answer is all of the above. So this is why I'm confused. The Brady Girls Get Married, as it was originally called, was filmed as a made-for-TV movie. But then they decided to break it up into little half-hour segments and air it weekly, and then add more episodes and change the name to The Brady Brides. And that series aired in February, March, and April of 1981. It was 10 episodes in total, and then it got the hook. See ya. So I think I saw the rerun of the originally filmed made-for-TV movie called The Brady Brides. And I don't think I saw it until the 90s.
Well, that would have been The Brady Girls Get Married, would have been the movie, right?
Yep, see? Yep, I'm very confused.
Okay,
yes.
So I feel the same. I feel like I saw a movie of this, and I can picture the husbands and everything, but I don't remember ever watching it as a series.
So you must have seen it in one of the reruns.
And also 81, yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I remember the series. And I remember being so excited, like beyond. And I remember I'm in high school at this point. And so it's like probably a little geeky to be excited about the Brady Bunch coming back.
But Shut your mouth.
It was everything to me. I cannot begin to tell you. Like right now, I'm remembering the feeling of this moment of like, oh my gosh, they're coming back. And I'm going to see how they grew up and what they're doing. And so, I mean, you know, we've got Carol, the realtor, and then she's going to also like maybe run for office. And there's like, anyway, there's a lot of drama, but it was all good. And I loved it. I loved it every moment of
it. It was really fun for us to check in with our old pals, the Bradys, because the movie part, not the rest of the series, but the movie part of it did feature the entire cast for the first time since the series ended. Because remember, the Brady Bunch Variety Hour featured fake Jan.
There was right.
Whatever Jerry, whatever her name is, Faith Chan.
Yeah, right.
So this is the first time they've all been together in a show. And we get to see what each of the Brady kids has been doing now that they're all grown up. And here's how we find out what each of them is doing. Carol has to call each one on the telephone to tell them the big news about the double wedding. So it's like, bring, bring, hello. Oh, it's Greg, and he's a doctor. Bring, bring, hello. It's Peter, and he's in the Air Force. Bring, bring. Oh, Bobby's playing college baseball. Bring, bring. Cindy is in college. It's so funny.
What about Cousin Oliver?
He wasn't in the show.
What?
He wouldn't have been cute anymore. They're like, get rid of Cousin Oliver. Yeah. So Marcia, as a grown-up, is a fashion designer. Jan is a junior architect, and Alice and Sam are married. Now, yay, that's the wedding episode we all would have liked to see, right? And Carol, in a sexist trope, is really struggling with empty nest syndrome. So she decides to become a real estate agent, a realtor, because she doesn't have any more PTA meetings. And they're all going to come together for the big double wedding. So in the double wedding episode, Marsha, the fashion designer, is marrying a slovenly dude named Wally that she's known for 7 days. And Jan is marrying an uptight dude named Philip Covington III, who also happens to be her professor. So this does not, I was going to say this is wrong. Well, I'm not talking about the professor part, even though, yes, that is wrong and they wouldn't do that today. But this does not line up with what we know about these characters. It has always bothered me. Marsha should have married the guy who was the third, somebody the third. And Jan should have gotten the leftovers. That's how this show operates. Right?
Yeah.
So Marsha's wedding dress is very modern and haute couture because she's a fashion designer, where Jan's is very antique-y and Victorian. And she's got this high collar on that looks like it's very, very itchy. And this is because the wedding episode is all about how they cannot decide between a casual modern wedding, Marsha, or a formal traditional wedding, Jan. So they decide to do the wedding half and half. And in one review I read, this guy says, "This is some classic Brady nonsense."
You bring up a really good point. I don't know how. I saw this so many times. Mm-hmm. Was it on reruns? Was it playing at Nick? I don't even know. But I watched this multiple times. It's never once occurred to me until right now that this doesn't go with their characters.
No,
and you're so right. Uh-huh. It's almost, like Marsha became this like fly by the seat of my pants, spontaneous. Yes. Yes. When we know Marsha was so concerned with the grades and the dotting all her I's and crossing all her T's.
She did everything right.
Yeah.
And Jan couldn't get it right.
And Jan, as classic Matt middle child, should have been the one that was like rebelling.
Right.
Yes. And the storyline is that Jan and the professor get married and they come home to tell Mike and Carol. And Mike and Carol are very upset because they think that Marsha should be getting married first.
Of course, because that's the order.
Right.
Greg actually should be getting married first.
Yeah. That's okay. We should ask Mike and Carol about that. And so then that sends Marsha into a shame spiral. And Marsha meets up with slovenly Wally at a cafeteria and they want to get married. And so it's like Marsha is trying to keep up with Jan. And so they decide to get married because she feels pressured to keep up with Jan. This is messing with my head.
It really is. And also, every time you say the word Wally, slovenly Wally, I just remember that I thought he looked like maybe like he didn't smell good. Yes. Like he just kind of looked like he was like dirty. I don't know. He just looked like
hair.
Maybe he had BO and I don't know. I just hated him. I didn't like him at all. I didn't like either of them, to be honest with you.
No, I didn't like Philip Covington III either. And Wally didn't seem to fit anybody. It was like they were trying to do square peg, round hole. And the remaining episodes of this series were about Marsha and her slovenly husband and Jan and her uptight husband buying a house together and having conflicts about their either slovenly or uptight ways. And this is so great. In one episode, Bob Eubanks guest stars as himself in an episode where the two couples appear on the Newlywed Game.
Wait, were you able to watch that somewhere?
No, because it's an episode. It's not in the movie.
I wish I could see that episode.
Wouldn't that be great? And here's a fun sitcom factoid, you guys. So the Brady girls, like so many sitcom characters, they get married in the Brady house, right in front of the Brady stairs. And this is how it's done in a 70s era sitcom.
Rhoda got married in the house, in the apartment.
Yes.
Why do they do that?
Well, I had to think about that for a minute, and I think it's two things. Again, I'm just making this up, people. Number one, familiarity.
Right.
Number two, a built set has a certain lighting to it. And I remember always thinking that it was weird on All My Children. Like, they never went outside on All My Children. I was like, oh, they're inside shows and they're outside shows. And the inside shows had different lighting. And so they couldn't mix up the two. And so they wanted something familiar for the viewer. They couldn't mess up the lighting. And also, They didn't want to build a new set.
Yeah, I was going to say it costs money.
Yeah.
Because right. Johnny and Chachi get married in the backyard, which we've never seen before. It's very tiny. It's like the laundry room door is open and they've stacked wedding gifts up on like it so that you're like, okay, it's not just a laundry room. That's where they're keeping the wedding gifts. So, but it's like such a tiny side yard with like AstroTurf, basically.
Yes, always and, with the AstroTurf.
Yeah, and then they've just piped in bird songs. So it's almost distracting. You just hear bird songs.
And just so that, so backyard equals AstroTurf and bird song.
Yeah.
It's funny, but think, can you think of any wedding that wasn't in someone's home? Is there a church in any wedding?
A sitcom,
wedding?
Because a we're sitcom about to talk wedding. About a
not
wedding.
A castle. Not a castle.
Yeah. Yeah, but also not even like a drama, because we're about to talk about one that did take place in a church. I'm trying to think. Well, let's think on that, everyone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lots of backyards. Lots
yeah, send
of,
us an email, of, guys, listeners.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
right now, I know there's so many of them shouting right now at their listening
yes.
device.
What about this one?
Send it to us. We can't hear you.
Right. Well, I can't help you out with my wedding that I want to talk about next, because this was a backyard wedding, also a double wedding. And when I saw people mention this, I thought I was the only person that might have had a strong feeling towards this episode, but lots of comments. So I'm justified in putting it here as one of our top episodes that we're going to talk about. It is the Eight is Enough double wedding when David marries Janet and Susan, guys, probably my favorite character, marries Merle the Pearl Stockwell. Okay, Merle the Pearl, the baseball player, like kind of a hokey guy from the farm. So cute. Loved him. Played by Brian Patrick Clark, who went on to be a really evil guy on General Hospital, by the way.
Oh.
And I never could reconcile those two because he was so nice and just aw shucksy on Eight is Enough. And then he's like a murderer's escape from a sanatorium on General Hospital.
I think I remember that now. I just got this weird like little flash thing in my brain that I could picture him on General Hospital. I'm going to look that up later.
So I just want to remind you guys about this episode because it was so much like I'd hopped in a time machine. I talk about this all the time where it feels like I just got sucked back in time. Mm-hmm. This episode was that. Like I remember specifics of each scene. I kind of remember what they were going to say. Okay, so the episode, it's in season 3. I Do, I Do, I Do is the title. It is one of the most memorable episodes of the series. And it begins with Merle the Pearl sharing with Susan. He has to go on the road with the minor league baseball team that he plays for. And he has to go on the road for a whole month. And guess what? Girlfriends can't, they can't come. She can't go if she's a girlfriend, but she can go if they're married. So guess what? He proposes and they plan to get married the upcoming weekend. So in like 6 days, they're going to get married. Okay. Meanwhile, we cut to a scene and it's David and his girlfriend, Janet. And guess what? They had broken up. But they've now reunited, and David proposes to Janet, and he says, let's just elope. And she's like, great, that's great. So they're planning on an elopement. They haven't shared any of their wedding plans yet, but Susan is going to share her. So she tells Dad, she tells her siblings, and none of them are very excited about it. Dad, especially, you barely know him. You're too young. This shouldn't happen. And she's really upset with the way everybody's dealing with this. Meanwhile, Merle has asked Nicholas to be his best man. Okay. Nicholas is the only one that's excited, it seems, in the whole clan of the Bradfords. And Merle's family isn't going to be able to come to the wedding on such short notice because it's harvest season back on the farm. So he needs Nicholas to step up. And Nicholas is all about that. So wedding plans start to get into full swing for this backyard wedding. They've decided Tommy's going to be the photographer. Mary's going to make a carrot cake. Elizabeth, there's not time for invitations. She's going to call all of the guests and invite them to the wedding. While everybody is stepping up to the plate, there's also this underlying theme of, should Susan be doing this? She's too young. Kind of comes to a head where Susan and Tom have this big falling out and she yells at him and she tells him, I'm going to elope. We're just eloping. Forget it. Then everybody is all sad. Well, guess what? Now David and Janet think, oh, everyone's so sad. There's not going to be a wedding. Let's not elope. Let's go ahead and we will get married in the backyard
Meanwhile, we go to a scene. Merle the Pearl and Susan are sitting in a diner on their way to Reno because, remember, they're going to elope.
Oh, yeah. That's where you go to get married.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And Susan talks about when she was young, she would go up into the attic and she'd put on her mom's dress and she'd play wedding. And this wasn't going to be it. And Merle senses that sadness in her and says, you know what? We're going to go back. The next scene, when they ring the doorbell, I don't know why, at the Bradford house. Yes. And Dad answers, and they then explain to him that, yes, they are going to get married now in the backyard. Oh, but no, what are we going to do? Oh, no. And they say, what? Oh, no. David and Janet are also getting married in the backyard. How are we going to do this? And Dad, he always knows what to say. He said, we're going to have a double wedding. And everything is solved. Okay, here we go. The ceremony. Remember, Tommy is the official photographer of this event. Oh, yeah. He's capturing all the moments with a Kodak Pocket Instamatic camera.
What?
It's the final scene. The wedding couples have gone on their way. The family is just reflecting on how great the day has been. And then all of a sudden, Nancy comes kind of tap dancing, sliding in, wearing these shorts and an outfit that looks something like a movie theater usher would have worn in like the 1940s. And she has her hat and she begins her first live singing telegram gig with David and Janet got married.
And so did Susan and Merle. First there were 8 of us. Now there are 10 of us, adding a boy and girl. Dave and Janet got married, and so did Susan and Merle. Now we're just one happy family, and he's just wild about, she's just wild about, we're just wild about you.
That clip of Nancy is so iconic because then it becomes part of the open.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
For perpetuity.
Yeah.
I remember so much about that episode. Some of the little things you were saying were bringing back memories. I love Abby and Tom's wedding a lot, too. Mm-hmm. And I think that one, because it's so, first of all, you still get the kind of chaotic Bradfords, you know, running around. They want to, but the part, and that's a two-part episode. And the part of that one that gets to me is Nicholas and Elizabeth, because Nicholas doesn't get it. And they're walking and he goes, Mom's going to be sure, something like, Mom's sure going to be mad when she comes home, like, and sees Dad married. Like, Mom's sure going to be mad when she gets back home. And Elizabeth is like, Nicholas, no, mom's not coming home. And he's like, yes, she is. Like, don't say that. He's like really angry. And she's like, Mom will always be, I'm forgetting now, but something like, Mom will always be your mom. And then Nicholas runs, like, they think he runs away, doesn't he? He goes up in a tree and Tom has to go
That's
get him.
Right.
And so Nicholas doesn't understand, like, that Mom, wait, what? Mom, you can't marry someone else because Mom, everybody's telling us Mom will always be our mom. Right. But this doesn't make sense to me. Then, of course, it culminates with, you know, that's the one that they get married at the church. And the reason I always remember that, too, is all the girls are in peach, of course, like peach, ruffly bridesmaids.
Very 1978. Mm-hmm.
Also very 1978. If you said to me in like the late 70s, early 80s, Michelle, would you like at your wedding $500,000 worth of these beautiful flowers, like all kinds of flowers, or this baby's breath? I would have chosen the baby's breath.
Yes,
because
of course.
To me, baby's breath meant wedding.
Yeah.
So in the Abby and Tom's wedding, all the girls have little crowns of baby's breath, which I thought was the best. I love it.
And that one wasn't a church.
It was a church, yeah.
I think I know the reason, because I'm a TV I'm a TV person now. Because on 8 is Enough, it wasn't a studio audience show, so they did have outdoor scenes.
Yeah.
That they could wedding go was inside outdoors. And outside. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so they probably didn't have an AstroTurf backyard wedding. That was a real grass wedding.
Yes.
Because if you had a live audience show, then you had an AstroTurf backyard, which means you were inside.
Gosh, I love that show.
Good.
I mean, if you just want to feel good, it streams on Tubi.
Just watch it.
Tubi, yeah.
Yeah.
Free.
And
from
the first notes of the theme song to the moments that will come back to you. There's some comfort to that show that maybe not even Little House on the Prairie gives me, which is surprising to say.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, I think
so
it's
too.
My feelings towards Willie Ames, too, at the time.
That
like,
helps.
Oh, when he'd wear that rugby shirt, that was so classic. And yeah, I loved 8 is Enough, so I'm glad those weddings got mentioned so that we could talk about them.
Isn't it nice when other people are mentioning the things that were important to you? You're like, I'm not the only one.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That there's someone else who I could say Merle the Pearl to, and they would know exactly what I was talking about.
Yeah.
That just makes me so happy.
There's a magic in the early morning we found. When the sunrise smiles on everything around.
I wanted to share just a quick list of some of the other weddings that people mentioned as being some of their favorites from the 70s and 80s. And it Hooskerdood the heck out of me when I read some of these because while obviously they weren't the most memorable to me because I didn't remember them until I read them, once I thought of them, I was like, of course, yeah. And I could even picture stuff. So just a few that people mentioned. There were two from One Day at a Time. So Barbara Cooper marries Mark, and that was a two-parter. And I remember loving Valerie Bertinelli's dress. Her dress is so classic, and it was just a great wedding.
Was it in the apartment?
No, I'm pretty sure theirs was in a church. Now, I didn't rewatch the whole episode. I just like saw little clips. It was in some building where or someplace where there was a center aisle because her dad, the OG
dad came back.
Yes, her dad came back and walked her down the aisle. Here are a few of the other ones. Scarecrow and Mrs. King.
Oh, funny.
Mork and Mindy. Maria and Luis on Sesame Street.
Oh, yes. Oh, I remember when Maria and Luis got married. But I was old. I'm pretty sure I was old. I think I was babysitting or something.
Okay, yeah. So maybe young Gen Xer would have remembered this. But yeah, that came up a couple times. Jenny and Lionel on the Jeffersons. Thelma and the football player on Good Times.
Oh, that was one where somebody brought up, like, if Thelma gets married in that apartment, I'm going to be so pissed.
That's right. Lucy Ewing and Mitch Cooper on Dallas. And then one that we really, maybe this needs to be an episode at some time, so we won't go all into where we were when this happened, but definitely was on TV. It was not a sitcom. It was real life. It was July 29th, 1981.
Oh, my goodness.
And this would be when Princess Diana and Prince Charles got married.
Yeah, that's an episode.
Correct.
That is an episode.
My mom woke us up. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think we all have that memory of where we were and when we woke up and all of that. So listeners, we saw you. We counted those and we will devote an entire episode to that iconic moment and wedding.
Phew, that was iconic. My goodness. Yeah. Do we still have wedding episodes? Is this still a thing? Do they do? Can you think of any contemporary wedding episodes?
Well, The Office.
Remember? I mean, you know what, though, you guys? I'm going to rock your world here. The Office.
Don't say it's not
contemporary.
Don't say it.
It's 20 years ago. Yes, it's almost 20 years ago.
Right. It's a whole different – because when I was doing like the Eight is Enough, trying to find the episodes, and it was like season two, and there were like 20-something episodes. Like it was really a long, drawn-out season where you could have a wedding and you could build up to it, like we said, in some of these shows. But when you got like 6 or 7 episodes, you don't even have the time to really develop a relationship and devote a whole episode to a wedding kind of a thing. I mean, it's just not the event.
It would have to be the point of the whole show. When you've only got 8 episodes, then the whole premise of your show has to be that somebody meets and gets married, as opposed to it being something that happens within the course of the story of these people.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. We just hit upon something important. This is really interesting. So I think what we're talking about here, I know it sounds fluffy, people, but I think it's truly historical in nature. The TV wedding is a pop culture nugget from the pre-streaming era, a very specific era. And we are here to preserve it. So what does that say about us? I'm not sure. Maybe that weddings made you a complete person or when your life began or that you needed to juice your ratings. I don't know. All I know is that it made for some really memorable TV. Thank you so much for listening today, and we will see you next time.
And we want want to give a huge shout out to our amazing Patreon supporters. Your contributions directly help us create this podcast and keep it and this whole society trucking. Today, we're giving a special shout out to these patrons: Claire, Lance, Cheryl, Elizabeth, Kevin, Cara, Liz, Courtney, Carla, Aaron, Debbie, Lisa, Christine, Amy, and Tanya. And if you're enjoying the show and want to join our community of patrons, just head on over to patreon.com and put our name up in the search box, and you can learn more about the different tiers and the exclusive perks available to our supporters.
Michelle, that will never get old, you listing those names. And I just, seriously, the number of names that you say and how many of you support us in that way, it does not go unnoticed. And we are so, so grateful for all of your support.
And the list keeps getting bigger every season.
It does. Yeah. So that means, obviously, that you guys are sharing it and keep on doing that. Share it with anybody and everybody. You guys, I just shared it, and this was so organic, at the DMV with my DMV person. You know, the DMV, that poor place gets such a bad rap, and those employees. Not yesterday. I had the most pleasant experience, and it wasn't like I went up and said, hey, do you know what I do for a living? It was very organic.
Sure.
I think that there were probably, I don't know, 50 people behind me that were pissed as hell because the my guy and I just struck up this conversation. It was so meaningful and profound. And he had me write down the name of the podcast and a couple of the episodes, and he was all over it. So with that being said, you never know when it's just a place to like kind of filter into the conversation that you listen to this great podcast.
I've shared it before with my feet in stirrups.
Well, there. So at your feet.
Let's just
stirrups.
Be clear that I was at, I could have been a Pilates. I could, but no, I was,
she was
at,
horseback riding.
at the doctor.
Yes.
And you know, they start chatting with you. What, you know, what do you do? And what do you, and then by the time I left, every nurse in that office was like, are you the one with the podcast? You have? And I'm throwing out cards. I'm just passing out cards. My gynecologist office.
So listeners, take that to heart and know that anywhere you are, that's right. Try to top us. Try to be better than in stirrups at the gynecologist or the DMV. We want to hear.
A huge date. Yeah.
Yes.
There's no place too awkward to share your love of the Pop Culture Preservation Society.
Yes, share it with friends. And also, if you do love us like we know you do, please leave a review where you listen and let others know how great we are so that they'll find us too. And if you don't like us, too bad. Don't listen.
Keep your mouth shut.
Whatever. We don't like you either.
You don't need to share.
You shut your mouth.
You don't need to share. In the meantime, let's raise our glasses for a toast, courtesy of the cast of Three's Company. To good times.
To happy days.
To Little House on the Prairie and Nellie and Percival.
Yay, Nellie and Percival.
Cheers. Cheers, everyone.
The information, opinions, and comments expressed on the Pop Culture Preservation Society podcast belong solely to Carolyn, the Crushologist, and Hello Newman, and are in no way representative of our employers or affiliates. And though we truly believe we are always right, there is always a first time. The PCPS is written, produced, and recorded in Minneapolis, Minnesota, home of the fictional WJM Studios and our beloved Mary Richards. Nanu Nanu, keep on truckin', and may the force be with you.